Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" What does that mean? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Say you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God. Well, what does that mean practically to you? If he is indeed God, and he is, then what have you done about it? Have you surrendered your all to him? Or do you just know in your head, yeah, I know that Jesus is God? Well, so what? I mean, that's not going to save you. You're not going to get to heaven just knowing Jesus is God. You have to surrender your life to Jesus. The demons know who Jesus is. So do you have faith like a demon that just in your head just checks off the box and says, yes, I believe in God and I believe Jesus was God and I believe he died for the sins of the whole world? Or have you surrendered yourself to that? So many have never surrendered.
If you've ever been around children for long, you know that their questions sometimes seem, well, endless. Surely answers to the questions of growing young minds are important, but there's one question that's the most important of them all, and Jesus was the first to ever ask it. You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today for the first lesson in Pastor Jeff's revealing five-message series, Cross-Examination. Questions from the King. And each message asks one important question that God is asking all of us, and the answers that we give have eternal consequences. Today, the question is this: who do you say I am? You can listen again to these broadcasts after they've aired by going online to fromhisheart.org, click the radio tab. There, too, you can download a free MP3 of any broadcast and the sermon outline notes from Pastor Jeff. But right now, if you can, open your Bible to the 6th chapter of Matthew. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve to ask that all-important question that came from Jesus. Who do you say that I am?
Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say I am, that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Now, I want us to notice three key questions concerning the personhood, the true identity of Jesus Christ. Question number one, who do people say Jesus is? That was the question that Jesus asked his disciples in the midst of all the pagan shrines and temples and things there. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Now, many people today, just like back then, they believe Jesus is special. People today believe Jesus is special, was special. And that's kind of the answer he got from the disciples. They said, "Some say John the Baptist." Well, John the Baptist, hey, that's pretty cool to be compared to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a great prophet. The people all regarded John as a prophet. As a matter of fact, Herod the king said that Jesus was John the Baptist risen from the dead, because that's how he explained all the miracles that Jesus did. And they said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist risen from the dead, and others say Elijah." Elijah was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Now, on the other side of the coin, there are many who believe Jesus was and is insane. Insane. You say, they thought that? Yeah, they thought that. Look what it says in John chapter 10 and verse 20. "And many of them were saying, 'He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?'" Hey, the scripture says even Jesus' own brothers thought he was a little off his nut. But even the group that says he's special and the group that says he's insane, although they're polar opposites, they agree on one thing: Jesus Christ was not God. He might be special or he might be insane, I'm not sure, but he's surely not God. Who do people say Jesus is? Question number two, who does the Bible say Jesus is? Even in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when Adam and Eve sinned and the Lord pronounced curses and judgment, and then he talked about the seed of the woman that would come and would crush the head of the serpent. He said that the serpent would bruise his heel, but that he, the seed of the woman, would crush his head. The seed of the woman is going to be Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin by the power of the Most High God. And the Bible, all in the Old Testament, reference after reference after reference after reference to the coming King, the coming Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ who was to come. Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is arrested. He is before Caiaphas, the high priest, and they are bringing people to accuse Jesus of all sorts of crimes. And finally, Caiaphas had had enough, and he realized that this testimony wasn't really going anywhere. So he looked at Jesus, and he said this in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 63, "I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said, "I am. And from now on, you will see me, the Son of Man, coming at the right hand of the power from on high, on the clouds." And the high priest heard those words, and his eyes got big, and his mouth gaped open, and he tore his robes, and he said, "Blasphemy!" They understood if you said, "I'm the Son of God," that you were claiming deity. And that's why they put him to death. If you're still not convinced, look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. "For in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." He is God. What does God the Father say about Jesus? See, no one has any doubts that the Father is God. I mean, everyone, the cultists, everyone would say, well, yeah, the Father's God. What does the Father say about the Son? Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. "But of the Son, he says, 'Your throne, O God, is forever and ever.'" God the Father calls Jesus God. Why does he do that? Because Jesus is the Son of God and God the Son. He's the second person in the Holy Trinity. That's why. He's co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 says this, "And he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him," listen to it, "for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." We sing that song, "He's got the whole world in his hands." And he does. In him, all things hold together. He is before all things. He's Jesus Christ, Creator God. And not only is he the Christ, the Messiah, he is the Son of God and God the Son. He is the Savior, we know that, but he's also the Judge. The Judge. Look what Jesus said of himself in John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. He said, "For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, in order that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father." He's the Judge. Who do you stand before on Judgment Day? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And you know what the interesting thing about Jesus is? He is Savior and Judge, but you can meet him in this life as Savior and know him as Savior. And you don't have to meet him in the next life at the great white throne judgment and stand before him as Judge, who is going to wrap his gavel and sentence you to hell for all your sins. You don't have to know him as Judge. You can know him as Savior and friend. And that is so wonderful. But that's what the Bible says about Jesus. "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You say, well, that's just what Peter said. And yeah, what does Jesus say in response to it? Verse 17, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. When Peter took his stand with the 12 and spoke for the 12, which he often did because Peter, he was an alpha dog. I mean, he wanted to be first and he was going to speak up. Who do you say I am? You're the Christ, son of the living God. And the bells went off and Jesus said, ding, ding, ding. That's right. What do we have for him, Johnny? You got it right. Peter, you'd get so many things wrong, but this one you got right. And he commended him for it. If that is not a claim of deity, I'm not just a prophet, Jesus is saying. They said to Paul, Lord, Paul, you, the gods have become men and have come down to earth. And Paul went into the crowd and he tore his robes. He said, why are you doing this? Why are you worshiping me? I'm just a man. Jesus is the only one in the Bible who receives worship. Why? Because he's God. That's what the Bible says about Jesus. Now, question number three, the most important question for you, who do you say Jesus is? Now, we're not talking anymore about people. We're not talking about Dan Brown, who wrote the Da Vinci Code. We're not talking about people in the Bible and what they said. We're not even talking about right now what God says. This is a question for you, and only you can answer it yourself in your heart. Who do you say that he is? That's an important question. If you get that one wrong, you miss out for all eternity. This question, who do you say that I am? It was asked 2,000 years ago, and it's just as pertinent and important today, 2,000 years later. It's the question of all questions, who do you say that he is? Do you acknowledge his deity? Do you say he is co-equal, co-eternal with God the Father?
It is the most important question that anyone could ask. Is Jesus truly God? Your answer to that critical question has eternal implications. Pastor Jeff returns on From His Heart in just a moment with the conclusion to the lesson called, Who Do You Say That I Am? Listen, we live in a world today that is hostile to the gospel, and increasingly so. And the exclusivity of Jesus, people don't like that. His divine nature is always being attacked because that threatens the people who want to do it their way instead of God's way. You and I have to be ready to fight for our faith, and we do that by helping people see God for who he truly is, so people will not have a distorted view of God. We can help set them on the right path. Pastor Jeff Shreve's series, Perspective, Understanding God and Man, can help. And these 8 lessons will be a blessing to you if you have questions about the nature of God. It's our thank you gift for your support from His Heart this month of any amount. To make that donation and to get the Perspectives series, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. Your support allows us to be here each and every day, so thank you again for considering a gift this month, for helping us to help others see God for who he really is. Now let's get back to the message entitled, So Who Do You Say I Am? Here again is Pastor Jeff.
You know what some people do? And I've talked to people who are in cults. They use Christian vocabulary, but they don't have a Christian dictionary. So they talk about things that you would say, yeah, that sounds right. They'll say the Mormon at your door, he'll say, well, you know, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I've given my life to Jesus. He's the Lord and Savior. And you say, hey, brother, I have too. But his definition of Lord and Savior is different from a Christian's definition of Lord and Savior. See, same vocabulary, different dictionary. It means different things. And so it's really critical that you understand that Jesus Christ is God. You say, well, you know, I mean, it's close enough. If you say he's Lord and Savior, and you say, if I believe on him that I can go to heaven, I mean, that's pretty close enough. And if this guy says, well, he's just an exalted man, but very special, and you say that he is God, I mean, that's 6 1/2 dozen the other. No, it's not. It's huge. Huge difference. Saying that Jesus, you have a high opinion of him as a person versus saying he is the highly exalted God, those two poles are light years apart. See, Jesus himself said to that rich young ruler, "Why do you call me good?" When he came up to him and said, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God." If Jesus Christ is not God, he is not good. If Jesus Christ is not good, he is not sinless. If Jesus Christ is not sinless, he cannot save you. You see, everything starts to fall apart like a house of cards if you deny the deity of Christ. That's why it's so important to understand who he is and accept his full deity. He is God. John chapter 8, 23 and 24 says this. Jesus said, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. That is why I said that you will die in your sins. For, watch it, for unless you believe that I am who I say I am, you will die in your sins." You know what that literally says in the Greek? He says this, "For unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." I am, that's the name for God. When Moses met God at the burning bush and said, "What is your name?" He said, "I am that I am. You tell them I am sent you." That's the name for God. When Jesus said before Abraham was born, "I am," they picked up stones to stone him. That was the name for God. You can't claim to be God. But Jesus said, unless you believe that I am, the great I am, you'll die in your sins, because only God can save you in a man, the person, Jesus Christ, who is the God-man, as much God as though he were not man at all, yet as much man as though he were not God at all. Listen, do you acknowledge that he's God? You say, "Yeah, Jeff, I acknowledge that." I mean, you're preaching a long time about this. It's so critical that you understand it. But now here is the second point. Say you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God. Well, what does that mean practically to you? What is the next question that would naturally come from that? Do you believe he is God? Number two, have you surrendered your life to him? If he is indeed God, and he is, then what have you done about it? Have you surrendered your all to him? Or do you just know in your head, "Yeah, I know that Jesus is God"? Well, so what? I mean, that's not going to save you. You're not going to get to heaven just knowing Jesus is God. You have to surrender your life to Jesus. The demons know who Jesus is. There is not one demon in hell or out of hell who does not know that Jesus Christ is God. When Jesus was walking on the earth, the demon-possessed people would come before Jesus, and they would come trembling, falling down before him, and they would say, "We know who you are, the Son of the Most High God, the Holy One of God." They knew it. They would confess it. But see, they've never surrendered to God. They are in rebellion toward God. So do you have faith like a demon that just in your head just checks off the box and says, "Yes, I believe in God, and I believe Jesus was God, and I believe he died for the sins of the whole world"? Or have you surrendered yourself to that? So many have never surrendered. So many that come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. They may be Sunday school teachers, they may be deacons, they may sing in the choir, but they've never surrendered to the Lord. You know how you can tell when someone is surrendered to the Lord? They're different. There's something about that person's life. There is life there. There is joy there. There's peace there. Why? Because the Lord lives there. And man, when the Lord is in control and the person is surrendered, that person is different. Being around that person is like being around Jesus. It's like being around the Lord himself, because he's in charge. He's at the wheel. He's sitting on the throne of the life. Have you surrendered to the Lord? I believe that we have many in churches today, all churches in America, who are practical atheists. practical atheists. You say, what is a practical atheist? Well, think about an atheist for a minute. An atheist and a Christian, they don't have much in common when it comes to spiritual things. But a practical atheist and a Christian are very similar. See, an atheist says there is no God. And a practical atheist lives like there is no God. Atheists don't pray. So many Christians don't really pray. I mean, they might pray at mealtime. They recite some things, but they don't really pray from their heart and from the depth of who they are. Atheists don't read their Bible. So many Christians don't read their Bible. So many Christians. I mean, if you ask them to find a verse on the deity of Christ and handed them a Bible, there's no way they could find it. I mean, they can't find the book of Matthew with a seeing eye dog. And they claim to be Christians. Practical atheism. You know, I was convicted about some areas of my life about being a practical atheist. I don't want to be like that. I want to be a person who is so on fire for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God, who left the glory of heaven and became a man and grew up and went through the difficulties of growing up like I did and you did and worked for his father, was in submission to his earthly father, worked as a carpenter, and then when he was 30 years old, started his public ministry, and he preached, and he taught, and he healed the sick, and he raised the dead. But the reason that he came was to die upon the cross for your sins and for my sins, and he rose again from the dead, and he is coming back in power and great glory. He is God Almighty. Now I want to bow my life to him. I want to bow to him in every area of my life. And I hope you want to do that too. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord gave some stern words, and he said to the people, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who are going to enter that wide, broad gate." He said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there be that find it." And then he said this, "Many will say to me on the day of judgment, 'Lord, Lord, what gives here? Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not perform mighty miracles in your name?' And he said, I'll say to them on that day, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' You knew all the right answers, but it was all in your head. You never surrendered your heart and your life to me, and I never knew you." How sad, how tragic. Who do you say I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I bow my life to you.
You know, maybe today you find yourself in that broad path toward destruction. I want to encourage you to go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link on the homepage, and there you'll be able to find out just how much God loves you, who he really is, and how much he forgives you and has great plans for your life. Again, that's the Why Jesus icon at fromhisheart.org. Today's lesson, Who Do You Say I Am?, is from Pastor Jeff's five-message series, Cross-Examination, Questions from the King. It's available on CD, DVD, MP3 format, and on a USB flash drive. Your choice. Go to fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE for more information. Time's up for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting you'll be here next time for the next lesson in Pastor Jeff's powerful and revealing series, Cross-Examination, Questions from the King. That's when we'll again open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve. speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more when you go to fromhisheart.org.